Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. You've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Hi, welcome again to Howe's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight is our monthly recap episode where we look back on the top news stories in Brooklyn real estate from month of October. And here, as always, is our host, Robert Howe.
Well, thank you, Jason, and welcome everyone to Howe's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. As Jason mentioned, he is my executive producer of Rising Tide Marketing. Tonight is our monthly recap show. A couple days late, October got away from us, but the stories are still coming, and there are plenty more for November and December, so not to fret. But he has done, once again, a spectacular job of finding the hottest and most interesting stories of Brooklyn real estate in October of 2017. So why don't you give us a little idea of what you have in store for us tonight, Jason?
Well, Bob, the first one comes from The Real Deal, and it's not so much a story as it is a headline. And I kind of get the impression that this might become the norm. We might see things like this become commonplace in our monthly recaps going forward, especially since we do live in New York, and New York sounds like it is very apropos for this type of story. The title is Trying to Sell Brooklyn Properties, Stop Construction and Throw a Party. That's really it, because they don't know any results of this event, but apparently a property under construction was halted, and Fortis Property Group, who I guess is developing these townhouses in Cobble Hill, decided that they would have a marketing company deck the place out and have a party for potential buyers. And I wonder if you have come across in your travels any unique ways brokers have gone about to try and sell or market a property.
Well, you know, this is an interesting story, and this is a really a little bit the thing that jogged my memory about this is if you look on the page where this story is residing, there is a little column on the right-hand side called popular. You know those columns that have all sorts of crazy stories or pictures that go here, go there. It's very distracting, bad for a person with ADD. So you're looking all over the page. But strangely, I see a story somewhere about, and I lost it actually, maybe it was on another site of stories you had tonight, but Ryan Sirhan, you know, that first person to do that million-dollar brokerage show, I happened to meet him a couple years ago. He is an alumni of Hamilton College, my alma mater, and we went. We were invited to an alumni real estate networking event, and it was held in Lower Manhattan on a tiny little street somewhere in a building that was still under renovation. And I thought, how crazy is this? You know, we're stepping over holes and construction debris, and you know, they were serving drinks, and the place was very spectacular. It was multi-level with a rooftop. It was all still pretty, it was probably about halfway finished, but I thought, how crazy is this to show properties that are under construction? And of course, this guy Ryan Sirhan, you know, was that young fellow with the gray hair, and you know, very popular on those million-dollar brokerage shows. And it shows up in the vicinity of this article about a Cobble Hill property. And sure, I guess for whatever reason, maybe there was a financial issue, maybe there was a building department issue, somewhere along the line things stalled. And I guess it's a little bit like, wasn't it Animal House, where, you know, when faced with some sort of dilemma or stress, John Belushi said, or one of the characters said, let's have a party. And it seems that's what they did. And probably, you know, to invite people in when, you know, 50 people or how many people ever, you know, were invited to this event, no damage done to the place because it's still under construction, and certainly a heck of a lot to talk about. What might it look like? What does it look like? You know, so they decide to have a party in the middle. They do mention they're not sure if anything came of it as a result of the party. They don't think so, but it certainly got things talking again, people talking about it, and you don't know what secondary effects, you know, it had. Of course, a $7 million price tag for Cobble Hill, you probably have to think once, twice, three times, four times. But, you know, it got people talking, and like I said, when they were faced with a problem, they faced it by saying, you know, let's have a party, and they did. But this, and as you point out, this is more of a headline than it is more of a fun headline. I don't know what other thoughts you have on this.
Well, like I said, I feel like I get the feeling that this might become commonplace, where you might see another broker try and play a little one-upsmanship and see what kind of attention, even if it's not potential buyers, but to get media attention on a property. And like you said, it's a $6 or $7 million purchase, so I don't know if somebody's going to be persuaded with some music and hors d'oeuvres, but it does help get noticed, get the name of the place out there, get maybe more eyes on it to be aware that this is for sale. And I just wonder if this might become the norm more so than maybe the evolution of the open house, say. And I think the topic would be interesting to have some of our broker friends of the program come on and give us their thoughts on it and see if this is something they see as a the way properties might be marketed in the future.
Well, you know, and the strange thing is, some of the brokers that we've had on would have in the past talked about staging the place before having, you know, an open house, doing paint, doing maybe furniture, plants, touching up things. So this is sort of like the opposite of staging.
Sound check and
yes, it's sort of like you know, when they make you a dish in a restaurant nowadays, and they don't put it all together, they call it deconstructed, deconstructed dish. That's all the parts that they haven't put together. So maybe, the trend towards deconstructed, open houses, maybe that's the way things, maybe turning out in the Brooklyn market. But it is it's an interesting, fun topic. I'm sure everyone had a blast. We didn't get invited. I blame you for that partially. But don't let that happen again. What else do you have for us?
We may get invited to some of the lower price point parties.
The places that are fully finished but look like they're under construction.
The next story comes from Mansion Global, and the title is A Boom in Brooklyn's New Condo Market. And we've kind of touched on this a little bit in some other recap episodes, not so much, but, you know, it does seem like condos are kind of sneakily creeping their way up into the stratosphere of maybe most desirable properties, and you know, sales are up, and the number that they throw out from the same period last year is that they're up 148% in condos sold in Brooklyn, and that's quite a jump. And I know we've covered this, and you know how condos are becoming more and more desirable. And I wonder what do you think about that, and is that something that condos going to start outpacing some of the other types of property in Brooklyn?
Well, I mean, according to this article, I mean, that's a huge number, percentage jump. I think there may be a little additional hype in that number than, you know, fact or truth in what's going on. I mean, if anything, the people that I know are telling me that there is a little bit of a glut, too many units coming on the market. And these units are coming on, and developers are really realizing that they can't sell them right away, so they're renting them, and that causes once again a glut in rentals. So my real estate friends are telling me that at least the rental market is a little slow, and that the rental prices are evening out. This article really talks about, I think we know that there are some tremendous buildings being built in downtown Brooklyn and along the waterfront in Williamsburg, and just, you know, changing the skyline of those communities. And, you know, condos are, you know, if you look at a Bay Ridge or a Diker or a Sheepshead Bay house, you know, their prices are comparable for an apartment, a condo apartment, versus a home in the Bay Ridges and the Dikers and the Sheepshead Bay, you know, stretching out Sheepshead Bays and marine parks. You know, but that, I guess people prefer that that condo-style living, the elevator, the garage, the health club, maybe a pool, maybe a sun deck somewhere. But if you just go a mile further into Brooklyn, you could buy a whole house for that. But, you know, on the other hand, properties and, you know, there are properties in Brooklyn starting at the $2 and $3 million range. So a $900,000 or $1 million condo seems like, you know, a pretty good score. And I'm sure all of these properties have amenities, eye-popping amenities, you know, so I wouldn't be surprised that the condo market is still strong, but there are a lot of condos, and I think there are a lot of developers taking their units off the market, renting them instead, and waiting for, you know, all of this inventory to be absorbed. They do talk about the luxury sales, though, cooling off, although I think, you know, $1 million for a condo is a luxury sale. But now they're talking, I guess, luxury sales are in the high twos and up. They have cooled off a bit. I mean, maybe we've just run out of, I was going to say millionaires, but we have plenty of millionaires. Maybe we'll run out of billionaires who want to buy multiple condo properties. Maybe we've satisfied that, you know, that demand so far. I don't know what your take is on this article.
Well, it also, well, it is a glowing review of the condo product, but and maybe it is a little skewed in that review of them. But it also mentions the median price jump in condos, and also that word luxury, and we've seen that. Before we had a guest on who dealt in, who was a Manhattan broker who was moving into Brooklyn because Brooklyn was booming, and the one word that people were looking for was luxury, and the types of amenities that these luxury apartments came with. And one of the things that I remember mentioning was a living quarters for your cook staff. So I kind of get the impression that these types of buildings, all the new construction buildings, are going to try to lux it up, even if it's faux luxury, even if it's however luxurious they can get it, even if it's on a you know, bargain basement luxury. That's just the way things are headed and going. And I think gone are the days where, you know, people are just going to put a fresh coat of paint on units and then try and sell them. I think they're going to want to really give them a makeover a la what you saw happen with Starbucks and McDonald's, where they did a complete makeover to change the perception and the image that they were that these places were cafes or bistros, or that you were sitting on the sidewalk in France eating their food and sipping their coffee while you're on your laptop and not in New Jersey or Staten Island or something.
Yeah, I don't know how much more luxury you could put into a building unless you start putting pools and gyms and theaters in everybody's apartment. Of course, you wouldn't get too many condos in a building using that floor plan, but I don't know how much more luxury that exists out there, but one never knows.
Well, the next story, while it's not from October, I feel like it's something that is topical and we could address it now, is the results of the mayoral race, and the Real Deal looks at it from a real estate perspective. And now that Bill de Blasio has been reelected, they list five issues that real estate pros need to follow. They include land use, property tax, commercial rent control, and among other things, affordable housing and zoning, construction safety, and apparently these are all going to be things that over this next term will come into play, and real estate professionals need to be aware of them.
Yeah, it's an interesting analysis of what they indicate may happen with real estate. You know, de Blasio has talked about affordable housing for 4 years. It hasn't happened. Now he's doubling down, to use a term that, you know, you hear on the cable news networks these days. People, politicians are doubling down, and he's doubling the amount of money that the city's going to throw at affordable housing. You know, I don't know if developers are really, you know, keen on that, given the hot nature of, you know, real estate in all the boroughs, from the Bronx through Staten Island. You know, property is, you know, the market is hot, and I don't think there needs to be much of a, you know, much more infusion of cash to get anybody to invest. And whether people are going to invest in the affordable side, when they're getting, you know, $1 million plus for condo development, as we were talking about, I don't, you know, that I don't know. Property tax reform now is, you hear a lot of grumbling that the neighborhoods that don't have such high real estate home values are being taxed at a higher rate than, say, someone in, you know, Park Slope, who has a multi-million dollar property. They're paying a couple thousand dollars in real estate tax. And maybe if you're in the middle of Brooklyn and have a $500,000 property, you're paying, you know, more than $5,000 in real estate taxes. So that's something you're going to have to figure out. And just the figuring out real estate taxes in the city is very arcane. It's not very straightforward. Some neighborhoods have their taxes keep going up, and others have them stabilized. So there really has to be some sort of uniform plan. For that to happen, of course, de Blasio has to go to Albany and see his best buddy, you know, Cuomo, and I don't think much is going to happen there. If anything happens, maybe Cuomo is going to do some reform on his own and take credit for it, you know, all by himself. What is your thought on affordable housing? And is what's the impetus behind it? Can government force or create affordable housing without, you know, engaging in the private sector? And the private sector is so focused on a luxury and you know, million-dollar properties. Why, and their, you know, the properties are going, why should they be concerned with you know, the affordable housing aspect of it? I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I guess that's really the age-old question: is the immovable object and the irresistible force, and how can they bridge that gap and have a happy medium where they have affordable housing yet not at the expense of the market and the free market. And I agree, he didn't do anything in the first go around, so it'd be interesting to see what, if anything, will be done in the second term. The interesting thing about the property tax issue was that the article mentions what his opponent would have been implementing, the Comelli Attacos, was going to freeze the property tax in her first year and put a 2% cap on it for the rest of her term. So that seems to be going by the wayside now, and it seems like property tax, especially in New York, is a hot button topic even beyond the mayoral race with the GOP tax reform plan, also dealing with the property taxes.
Yeah, right. They're going to be dovetailing, and there'll be comparisons, and of course, cutting taxes, freezing taxes is what people want. And although de Blasio is not mentioning raising taxes on most of us, he is proposing that millionaires tax. And we've already heard from Cuomo's people that that's dead on arrival in the New York State legislature. So it would have been nice if property taxes were frozen, make government become a little more efficient, and stop that's yet another squeeze on the middle class. We will see how that all plays out. Commercial rent control, boy, this is a blast from the past. 1984, they said that was the last time that was mentioned, and that really brings me back. 1984, commercial rent control. I think the horse has left the barn on that one, and when you're talking about, the amount of buildings that the luxury buildings that have gone up, both residential and office space. I don't think there's any way to really get a hold of that and bring that back into line. I'm not 100% sure how commercial rent control is going to help mom and pop stores. I think it sounds great, but mom and pop stores are facing a lot more issues than in addition to rent, online and the virtual stores. I think it's going to create a lot of unsettledness in the real estate community if that proposition, comes back up again. Waterfront and land use, I think that is going to give the local communities a little bit of control over how their communities will be looking 10 years from now. And they do mention, all this waterfront property and the city council people that are attached to that waterfront property and how they will have a pretty strong influence on, on what's going on in terms of developing, their property. Construction safety. When you have cranes falling off buildings building after building after building being renovated, the amount of construction accidents will certainly go up. I know the Department of Buildings, to their credit, stepped up their enforcement and their safety, and that's good for all of us. They're indicating fines of $500 to $1.5 million. I hope I don't get one of those fines, but that certainly is, a hefty fine. It's also in addition to what, the person might be sued for. So that it's interesting that there's both a fine and a lawsuit also attached. If people get injured because of some construction.
Well, I do get the impression that these five topics might still be topics at the end of this term, and we might be seeing this story again for the next mayor to have to address. Last and final story. It's just a snippet from the Brooklyn Eagle talking about Brooklyn's growth as a tourist destination. And we know that New York has always been a huge tourist destination, but now Brooklyn is attracting some of that tourist business.
And you see dearth of buses coming over the Brooklyn Bridge, the double-deckers, and they're scooting all around downtown Brooklyn. Probably they're jumping out to Williamsburg also. Yes, but, you know, Brooklyn is a tourist destination. It is, as we say on every show, it's a brand. It's trendsetter. It's funky. It's groovy. People want to come here. People want to be associated, you know, with words like Brooklyn and Williamsburg. So, yes, they, you know, it is a tourist destination. We do have a lot of, you know, fine restaurants and retailers here. A slight discount in price from what you might find in Manhattan. Craft beer, craft alcohol places, best pizza probably in the world. So why not come to Brooklyn and see, you know, how people actually live in homes rather than, you know, glass and steel skyscrapers of Manhattan.
Yeah, and it's almost as if there are these excursions where you in the past might have, I want to see the Grand Canyon. Now you've got these little micro adventures where I want to go on a pizza tasting tour in Brooklyn, or I've got to see Nathan's in Coney Island, or the Cyclone, or the Brooklyn Bridge, or the Moonstruck House, all these little iconic Brooklyn landmarks and destinations that are so famous that we probably don't even think about or take for granted that to someone else, not only around the world, but other parts of the country might look at it as like, these are just too good to be true that this exists. And so I think there are people who take these trips and want to experience these aspects of Brooklyn.
I tell you, you go out to Coney Island and you see that parachute jump lit up, I think that's worth the price of the tour alone.
Yeah. And with that, we're at the end of our recap. And Bob, why don't you take us out?
Well, thank you once again, Jason, for you know, selecting all these very interesting articles about Brooklyn being a tourist destination, condos selling like crazy. What does the next 4 years hold, you know, for us in terms of, well, on a lot of different levels? That's a huge question. And all those articles that you have brought to the October 2017 monthly recap show. This concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show and our executive producer, Jason, for bringing us all of this interesting, fascinating news that we probably already knew or sensed or felt that was happening, you know, throughout Brooklyn. This is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
At you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her head.